Welcome to the Global Sales Leader Podcast. I am your host, Jason Cooper. Each week, we look along different facets in and around the area of sales, sales leadership, psychology, body language, technology, and so much more. I speak with interesting people that I'm fascinated about, and I want to find out more about how people work and the study of success and also sales processes and so much more. This week's episode, I'm truly excited to speak with Jeffrey Gittemore, and his books have excelled over 5 million copies. So I like his non-bullshit approach to sales. And if I was to write a book or books, I would suggest that this is the sort of book that I would write. So I'm delighted to introduce on this podcast, on my show this week, Jeffrey Gittemore. We have an exciting, engaging conversation, full of fun, full of insights, and so much more to share. I know you're going to enjoy this. Hello, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. And wherever you are in this wonderful, beautiful world that we live in, you are very welcome to the Global Sales Leader Podcast. And every week, I'm thrilled to embark upon this journey in the dynamic world of sales and a go-to destination for golden nuggets of knowledge. I like to say, feed the knowledge forward and help everyone share and grow, because I'm fascinated by how people do what they do. That's why I'm into sales. That's why I'm into this area of helping people to get what they want. So various facets around sales, including sales, sales leadership, psychology, behavior, body language, technology, and beyond. And each week I bring you an engaging discussion around these areas. And I want to give some valuable takeaways every single time, because I want to make sure that people learn and grow. And this week's episode, I have someone incredible. I say that everywhere. No, I'm only joking. We have someone incredible, Jeffrey Gittemore. I know from speaking to him before and also reading his book. For the audio listeners, they probably won't see my little red book here and the sales Bible, which I've also listened to and I'm going to buy. And he's got an accolade of other wonderful books. Global recognized expert. He sold over 500,000 books and one that he has in his repertoire, and an accolade of huge amount of experience. And he's going to share his, some of his wisdom in the next while, depending on how long we go. So, Jeffrey, welcome. Thank you very much for coming on.
My pleasure, Jason. I should tell you that because you're British by nature, by citizenship, you probably know Robin Hood.
I do.
The guy who robbed from the rich and gave to the poor. That's no longer a viable concept. What happens with salespeople who learn the wrong way? They rob from the rich and from the poor and keep everything for themselves. They don't give anything away. And so the challenge is, how can you enter a marketplace being somewhat benevolent, but still achieving your goal?
That's a good question to pose, actually. And I think all as salespeople, we have big goals that we want to achieve, and we all want success. But we need those tools to make sure that we have the people skills to do it.
But here's the deal. Sometimes your goal is not your own. Sometimes you're given a goal by your sales manager, and then you have to make a goal to achieve his or her goal.
Yeah.
That's where the disconnect occurs. So I make my own goals. I make them every day.
Yeah.
I put them on my bathroom mirror so that, and just post-it notes, little post-it notes, so that I can see what I got to do as I get out of the shower. And it works. It totally works. I'm beholden to myself, and I'm responsible for myself. I'm not accountable. I'm responsible. Big difference.
Yeah.
No salesperson wants to be accountable. None. That's why CRM doesn't work, because they think that it's going to they're going to have to be accountable to their manager, who's going to micromanage them through their CRM program. And they're wrong. CRM is very valuable because it allows you to keep details. I use Pipedrive myself, and if anybody wants to learn about what a CRM is really about, just go to gitomer.com/CRM. Maybe put that in the notes. And yeah. I program my own CRM in 20 minutes.
Ironically enough, I trained some salespeople before Christmas by Pipedrive. And having all the bells and whistles, it's no need. All people want to do is put their names and addresses in, maybe some notes of that customer. And that's all you need.
Yeah, it's all you can actually put your sales cycle in.
Yeah.
So you know where you are. But more important, I put notes on the left-hand side of my customer, and I know what questions I have to ask him or her. Yeah. It's a phenomenal program.
Yeah, it is a good program. I've used multiple ones. They're all relatively similar in what they do.
Yeah, but they're harder to, they're not easy to use. Like that program we were just on, which is, I refer to it as the piece of shit. But I want to use Zoom. I'm on, I click on, it says call somebody, and I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah.
Now, if I want to use multiple platforms, I use StreamYard. So those two platforms, I know they're going to work. I've done 1,000 programs on StreamYard.
Mm.
1,000. And probably more, but at least 1,000. So it's easy for me. I click, I invite people, they come on, I click on, boom, done. And it works every time.
Yeah. I think it's just another thing to have. Like salespeople want simplicity. And they want to know that they don't want anything too exquisite and out there. Because when you're on the road, if you're out on the road, you just want to turn the bang, bang, bang. Notoriously, salespeople can be relatively lazy at putting data in because all they want to do is sell.
Let's be realistic. Salespeople want a list of customers that want to buy now. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
You give them that list, they're off to the races. Unfortunately, that list doesn't exist. So people read a book like The Secret, which is a kind of a bullshit book that tells you to sit in your driveway and eat a bag of potato chips and your Cadillac will be delivered. It
doesn't work like that.
No. But luckily, The Secret has two blank pages at the end of it where you can write the real secret. Work hard.
Yeah, yeah.
That's The Secret.
It does actually say that within the opening part of your book and one of your principles in there, it does say people don't like to be sold. They love to buy. But if you go over a couple of the pages, it does say, there's no secret sauce. You just have to work hard at it.
Right. My principle number one is kick your own ass.
Yep.
That, 'cause no one's going to come in and go, come on, Jason, you can get out of bed, bud. Come on, you can do it. I know you can. It doesn't work anymore. It doesn't. Yeah. It's not like that. Life's not like that.
I think you have to be self-accountable for your own actions and whatever you do.
Self-responsible is perfect.
Yep.
Salespeople don't like the word accountability because it makes them think of their manager.
True.
Who they also don't like. And if the sales guy or woman can outsell the manager, they will never listen to one word that person says, ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as a sales manager, I coach people and I say, listen, if you want to be a respected manager or leader, go out in front of your sales guy and make a sale in front of them that they couldn't make. Otherwise, who the hell are you?
Yeah. Yeah. I also like the people that are performing well within a sales team is to buddy up and help the people that are not performing and find out what they do. What do you think about that? I quite like that, but what's your thoughts on that?
I have an easy thought. If you're willing to pay the better salesperson some kind of fee to do it, they will gladly do it. If you want them to do it to help the team, salespeople don't want to be on a team. They want the guy next to them to drop dead so they can have his leads.
Yeah. I suppose there is an ego to be, if you're flying, you have
just
that.
Pay the guy. pay the guy to help, then they'll help. But companies are stupid, and they think that having a mentor will work. It will not work.
So what do you think is the right process then for helping people along the way or not? What would you suggest?
Number one, you hire people who have the potential to love what they do.
Yeah, agree.
If you don't love it, you're out. That's number one. Number two, they have to be product fluent, and that's a given. So the easiest place to do that is at a customer's place.
Yeah.
So you take them for 1 week and they work at a customer's place to see how your product is or service is used. Now you love what you do and you know how it's used. The third part is you go back to those same people and you find out why they bought. And then you go into a new customer and say, hey, do you want to know why our last time customer bought? Do you want to know how our customers use the product? And you're in.
Yeah.
You don't need a demo. You don't need a, it's so stupid the way sales is so backwards.
Yeah, I suppose once you get that credentials and from those particular customers, and I did read that in your book as well about getting every single one that you've worked with, sold to, get them in as a testimonial, because it's accreditation of skills. It's accreditation. Yeah. Plus, it gives you a bit of an ego boost.
You don't have social proof. You don't win.
Absolutely. Yep. The Cialdini's laws of influence and persuasion, and part of that is credibility and social proof along that way is, why do people buy from me? That other person bought from me, and these are the reasons why they bought from me. So what else is there?
Persuasion is a very difficult process. And can get dark, just like NLP.
Yeah.
It's a great persuasion process, but it can get dark. And so I'm on the lighter side of it. I want positive persuasion, not persuasion.
Yeah. I think during it in the organic process, I think if you're trying to influence people for the sake of influencing people and it doesn't work, I think like NLP is a really good format when it's done well, but you don't try and influence people in the dark side of things, as you suggested. I just don't think it will work. People will see it for what you're actually trying to do.
It's manipulation of the worst order.
Yeah, and no one likes being manipulated. I think
salespeople do it lightly. They say, you know, my quarter closes at the end of the week, and I was wondering if we could have our thing wrapped up by then. Like, I don't understand that. That's all about you. I don't give a shit about your quarter. I don't give a shit about you. You could die tomorrow. Just give me the name of somebody else I can call at your office. So salespeople tend to talk in terms of themselves, and that's why they lose.
Yeah. I totally concur, because it's not about us. It's always about them. But it's also about their customers as well. Why they buy from them and what it means to them. As well. So,
it boils down to, what's the best outcome? Yeah. What are they hoping that the outcome will be? And if they have that, they can work backwards. If they don't know what the outcome is, you can't move forward.
Yeah.
There's an expected outcome from that customer when they buy, and sometimes it affects their customer, sometimes it's just internal, but you need to know that.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, why are you bothering?
True. Very true. And what do you think about this, like going into corporates now? Because it's like there's so many, if you imagine a chessboard now, there's so many prawns, there's so many influencers, there's so many people that have the money and people have the power and all of that. It's a big, big.
Hold on.
Go on.
CEOs pull the trigger. If the CEO likes you, he'll walk you down to that pool of people. And say, we're going to go with Gittimer. And everybody else goes, okay, boss. And that's it. Otherwise, you're screwing around in a bunch of meetings with a bunch of people that think they have power, but they don't.
Yeah.
So I start here and I work my way down. I don't start down here and work my way up. And starting down here is the easy port of entry.
It is.
But starting up here is a tough port. But when you get there, you're fine.
Yeah. I think it's like going for the whales rather than the minnows.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. And it is the age old saying that. I don't think it's ever changed, really. You start at the top, and then it's easier to start up there than going down from the bottom, because it's an uphill struggle. It's like a fish coming uphill.
And it's a dumb one. It's a dumb one.
Yeah.
Because you waste your time starting with people who can't decide. And then I'll get emails of, how do I get around this guy? Well, you get around him by not starting with him, you lazy bastard.
I love your straightforward approach here. I think it's awesome. And it is good to speak to someone like you, because that is the way it should be done.
Why don't you bring on somebody from a company that wants cold calls, or a company that wants to challenge yourself? Let me talk to them.
Yeah.
Let me ask them how effective it is. Let me ask them how they teach it.
Yeah.
Let me ask them how that works, and bring sales guys on. Let's have a forum. You know, you're in a group, a LinkedIn group, right, with other sales trainers, other leaders. Bring customers on. Let them talk about why they buy instead of you guys talking about how to make people make sales.
Well, let's do a test there then. Let's do the marketing test, the A-B test. The group one, the challenger model or whatever, and group two, the organic natural approach and the better way of doing it.
And let's do it like this. Let's put money on the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's put, you know, 10,000 quid on the edge of a table, bring in the challenger guy, bring me in, and cash on the end of the table. The audience votes, and whoever wins takes all the money.
Absolutely.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, and a flight to Paris as well on the back of it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, business class.
Okay. I love the way you think. I think that's a perfect approach. You got to go up to the next level, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As you say, you start from the top, and then if they throw you out and you go down to normal class, and then that's fine.
Well, let me give you a clue. No matter where you fly, bring your own food.
Yeah.
Because their food's not edible.
Well, when you're hungry, you're hungry. You'll eat it. You'll eat whatever.
I'm just telling you, their food's not edible. I never fly with their food.
Okay.
I take my own food on. In fact, one of my goals is to get the flight attendant to ask me for food.
I've traveled 24 hours on the plane. I would eat whatever is in front of me if I had the choice, but that's just me. Before we started, we were talking about your additions to the book, and you suggest you got the little red book of selling, and you got the sales Bible, and you got some other books as well. And I can't think of their names offhand, but then you said the classic edition, and you said the backstory. I'm curious.
It just came out this year. I wrote the backstory of how the Red Book came about, because it wasn't my idea. Ray Bard, the guy that used to own Bard Press, sat at a restaurant with me in 2002 and said, you know, Harvey Pinnock wrote the Little Red Book of Golf and sold 1.5 million copies. I'll bet if you write the Little Red Book of Selling, you'll outsell it. So the Little Red Book of Selling is now at over 5 million copies sold.
5 million. Wow. That's incredible.
And it's the largest selling sales book of all time because it's readable, the message is transferable, and it's actionable. And it's not just about sales, it's about life.
Yep.
And so people can read it and relate to it. I have a supplemental book called The Little Red Book of Sales Answers, right? Answer 100 questions. I have another supplemental book called The Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude. And those, if you have the right attitude and you have the right belief system and selling skills, you march to success.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you don't.
Yep.
If you have a sales pitch that's boring and you have a pipe up your ass to be able to present it, I'm not going for it. I want someone that can make me smile. I want someone that can, you know, where I can feel who they are as a person.
Yeah. I think it's a personality trait as well. Like, I know beforehand we were having a laugh and joke about things, but I think humor plays a big part in what we do, plus your passion and the energy and everything else. But it obviously, the questions that we do ask, which has to be curious and everything else. But we need to have
I recommend if you're in the UK, then you want to make sure that before you go into a sales call, play a couple sketches from Monty Python.
Yeah.
And just get yourself in the groove of laughing.
Yeah.
And you'll win.
Yep. That's something that I do. I watched a bit of Jimmy Carr. I don't know if you know of him. Monty Python's pretty similar. Just very cutting edge. And he's like, I always get a few belly laughs on that.
Yeah, exactly. And it puts you in the mood.
Yeah. Yeah. And you need to be in the right mood, especially when you're getting a couple of no's down the line, but you need something else to cheer you up.
Transferable.
Yep.
You walk in, you feel great. The other guy can possibly feel great. You walk in, you go, well, you know, the weather, it's raining, it's snowing. I don't care about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandably, that's a normal textbook thing that you say in Ireland and the UK is we talk about the weather first. We always get that out of the way because it's always crappy. Yeah, it's always bad, but we all talk about it. Maybe it's not a US thing, but
yeah. I just think about the banker never wears a Mac in the pouring rain.
True. Yep. Goes without saying. He just jumps into his chauffeur-driven car and away he goes.
Right.
So that's always the way. So what was different about the classic edition to the one? So I'm curious about other
than the other. It didn't change any of the content whatsoever.
Okay.
It's all the original content. But I added how the book came about. What happened as a result of that, because the book has won every award possible. And then I put in about 12 or 15 pages of full page quotes that don't exist in the Red Book, but I think are worthy of sharing.
And some parts of the book.
The Red Book is 20 years old. There's nothing in there about social media.
No.
There's nothing in there about, there's very little about emails. So there's no Twitter, there's no LinkedIn, there's no nothing. Because sales are not made that way. And there's a group, boy, I'm going to piss some people off. There's a group of people called sales enablement people. Fire every one of them.
Why do
I need to be enabled? If I'm talking to a CEO, I don't need a piece of software that tells me what to do.
Yeah.
I either know what to do or I'm out. I can either convey the value of my product or service or I'm out to a team or whatever. Sales enablement is the biggest freaking undefinable joke in selling. Well, it's the second biggest. Cold calling is the first.
So tell me about the first then.
If I call 100 people who I don't know, it's likely that I'll get somewhere between 95 and 99 rejections.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would I do that stupid thing? Why subject myself to that? And then tell me, if you make a sale on a cold call, how many deep relationships have you created as a result of it?
Probably next to nothing, I would have thought.
So why don't you spend your time? You have 3 hours to make cold calls. Why don't you spend 3 hours building relationships and getting referrals? Same thing, same deal. Yeah. But if I have a referral, ask a salesperson, who would you rather have, 100 cold calls or one referral?
Absolutely.
1,000 cold calls or one referral? So if the answer is obvious, then the process should be obvious as well.
Yep, I completely concur. The getting a referral is worth its weight in gold. It helps you. Warmly introduction. Something that I used to do is if I was going into a customer and they bought and so on and so forth, would you mind emailing the other person? Let them know that I'm coming, but obviously CC myself or just give them a phone call just to give me all the details, but make sure that you include my name in and do the obvious things behind that. And it's just warmly done.
Let me give you my definition of it. It's only three words. Waste of time.
Like that. That's pretty succinct and straight to the point, which I like. And it's
bring on somebody that tells me something else, and I'll be more than happy to talk about life with them.
Yeah, yeah. And after all of your many years of experience in doing what you do, What are the golden gems that will excel people forward? This is a question I've just made up specifically for you.
Thanks.
Oh, that's okay.
First of all, the first sale that's made is the salesperson.
Yeah.
If the customer doesn't buy you, they're not buying a damn thing. So that's number two. If you don't love what you do, get the hell out of it as fast as you can. Because you're never going to be able to give your message in a way that I perceive as genuine. My benchmark quote, which is in the front of the Red Book, people don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. That's a statement that's undeniable.
Yeah.
So why are you trying to sell people when you could just as easily ask questions and get down to their buying motive?
Yeah.
Why did they buy before? What happened? How's that affected your, how's that outcome affect the way you operate your business? I want to know real answers, not have you ever heard of us?
They should know about you.
Like, dude, go away. Go away.
I suppose with the advent of technology and the internet, they should know about you. They should know about your service. They know about everything that you do because it's so easy to do a search on the internet and find out you on LinkedIn. Like I found you on LinkedIn and obviously your book and a little bit of research behind. That's what they're doing already. They if they're expecting you to come in, they should know everything. So ditch that part of the pitch and go into.
Not only that, it's more powerful if you have a great online presence. You don't have to say a damn thing, but most salespeople don't have a good online presence. They don't.
Which streamlines me and segues me into your personal brand. And look, you've said the stuff behind it in the back of your book about record yourself speaking, going to seminars and speaking, the stuff that I've done before, push yourself out, that join Toastmasters. I've tried Toastmasters. I think that's an excellent way to get yourself to be push yourself out to be a little bit a bit nervous, but you know, listen to yourself speak, think on your feet and do something slightly different and listen to yourself on the telephone, look at yourself on the bathroom mirror. I don't use the bathroom mirror, but I could use the mirror downstairs. I could maybe practice that. But, you know, there's so many other ways and digital ways of building your personal brand. What other ways have you done before to build up your personal brand?
Well, keep this in mind. I'm going to give you an outcome before I give you the brand.
Oh, cool.
I've done about 2,500 corporate events. Never made a sales call. Ever. I didn't call you. You called me.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone calls me because my value is on the internet is so good that people want to buy.
Mm.
They call me up to find out how much is your, you know, what's your fee to speak. And, you know, that's how it's been for the last almost 30 years.
Mm.
If you're in sales and you're one of the best who ever lived and you don't have to make a sales call, you're doing something correct.
Yeah.
So I build my social platform with messages of value, not sales messages. Although sometimes I do. If I'm giving a webinar, I'll you know, put the message out. But for the most part, I want to make sure that I'm putting value out there so that someone forwards it to somebody else. Hey, you got to see this. Hey, you got to do this. So how do I have, you know, 100,000 LinkedIn followers? How do I have millions of views on my YouTube channel? And the answer is because I put value up.
Yep. Yep.
And then people call.
Yeah. And I think that is that actually. I bet, going a little bit on the side here, I bet your cat sells to you though.
This cat can have anything she wants.
Exactly.
Yeah. And doesn't give a shit. Look, I didn't call her. She just showed up.
Yeah.
And so when they show up, that means they want something and I'm totally fine with it. And when she's done with me, she'll just jump down.
The cats are the best sales animals out there.
They never give up.
Yeah.
They never give up.
Which is a good thing, really, because once you're relentless at what you do, as a salesperson, you never want to give up. That's one of the core principles of a sales success. If you just don't give up, you have that relentlessness.
I concur.
And
here's my philosophy on that. When I believe that I can no longer help somebody, I'll give up. Until I do that, I'm going to follow up and follow through with everybody I have. And I'll even tell people, say, listen, something's wrong. I'm not the right fit for you. So I'm going to bow out. I'm going to follow up for about 3 or 4 more weeks, and then that's it. I'm going to quit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I let them know I'm still going to keep pounding them until they say okay.
Yeah. And I think that's quite a good
thing. Here's the other thing, though.
Yeah.
Listen, this is really important. I have fun at what I do.
Yeah.
I have a good time. And people can feel that. And when they feel it, they're much more receptive to saying okay.
Yeah. And I think that's probably part of it as well. When you're having fun, you enjoy it. And people can hear it and they can see it. And people know by your body language if you're not congruent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you have a smiley face. And there is a bit that psychology, and I know it's pretty old school saying, but when you do smile into the phone or walk around, I don't know what it is, telepathy or people feel it. And they probably, because your diaphragm's up and you're smiling and the muscles are going in your face and all of that other stuff, I think it's extremely powerful.
I don't feel like there's, I'm just myself.
Yeah.
If I'm in front of you 10 years from now, I'm going to be the same person that I did on this interview. Yeah. I'm not going to be someone like, wow, you're so different. No, I'm going to be the same.
Oh, you'll be better looking, obviously.
Well, that happens every year. But the bottom line is, if you read Dale Carnegie, if you read the How to Win Friends and Influence People and How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, there's a thread, a consistent thread that goes through both books.
Yeah.
And it's be yourself.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a good self, then get a fucking better one.
Yeah, I think when I first started
preparation.
Yeah, I was going to say when I first started, I wasn't myself when I first started in the sales world. I was in the Square Mile of London and it was new to me and I didn't feel myself. I came out of a really bad training course.
Oh.
And the guy was slamming his hand on the table and insulting you. And you know, when you're supposed to come out really powered, empowered, and you're going out there, I felt so not empowered and I felt I've got to get out there. And there's the day of the Rolodexes, and
yeah,
we
you
all had
to go back to that person if they're still alive and thank him for setting such a bad example.
Changed the way I thought, and I went, I'm not going to have that.
Yeah,
and it is being yourself. That's the biggest thing that I could ever say to anyone at all. So, Jeffrey, cool. I always like to ask, if you were interviewing you, what sort of questions would you ask yourself?
I would want to know what my inspirations are to be able to get to the next level. So I have a morning routine, and my morning routine has been consistent for the last 25 or 30 years. I spend the first hour of the day on me, most important person in the world. I don't get up and check my phone to see what happened. I don't give a shit what happened. I read, I write, I prepare, and that causes me to think and create.
Hmm.
I do those 5 things every day. And so far, I have 17 books, and somebody else can tell me what the weather's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about the weather. I look out the window.
Yep. That's a probably good indication. And staying off bad news.
But here's the deal. If I didn't do it enthusiastically, if I didn't love what I did, I'd be in a routine that I wouldn't like.
Yeah.
So the first thing you have to have is a profession or a vocation that you love. If you love it, then you don't mind dedicating the time to it because it's not work. It's just joy.
Yeah.
And most people have no joy, or they have less, look at anybody in your country or my country. that has to go to work every day and they don't like what they do. Do you think that's most of the people or only a few people?
Yeah, there is. It is a few people. I think it's also that purpose and what and understanding what your purpose actually is and how you can create your own world by doing it. And a lot of people don't know what their purpose actually is and their passion behind that.
Well, if you create your own mission statement, you have a shot at it. Yeah. If you don't, you have no shot at it. But I'm, you know, first of all, I'm a father, and then I'm a grandfather, and now I'm a great grandfather. So those are my, as a family person, those are my first priorities.
Yeah.
Then I'll deal with my friends. Then I'll deal with my customers. Then, you know, so there's a pecking order of how things are in the hierarchy of achievement. But I'm loving what I do. I get up in the morning and I'm like a blessed human being. Mm. I get to travel all over the world, say what I think, you know, perform for other people, and I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, just as an example, there's a, you should put this up somewhere. I'm involved with the Napoleon Hill Institute.
Oh, very good.
And they have a 4-day free thing on Grow Rich with Think and Grow Rich with Peace of Mind. And tomorrow I'm going to be doing a 45-minute talk on belief and decision making. And you got it. And it's free.
Excellent. I love Napoleon Hill.
Yep, everyone does. Napoleon Hill has the name of personal development that everyone else wishes they had.
Yeah. And the mad thing is, it was written over 100 years ago.
Yep.
And it's been reincarnated. There's updated versions of it. But the storyline is all very interesting. And what fascinated me is on chapter, I think it's chapter 3 or 4, where he has his inner coaches. And he has 5 or 6 inner coaches that help him and drive him. And these are people that are of different backgrounds and principles. Whoever they might be, he made the names up at those particular time.
No, he uses real people.
But, yeah.
But the key to this is he gives examples.
Yep.
He tells stories about people and how they did what they did that authenticate his philosophies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I think we have to all go back to the classics to really go and learn, because the principles haven't really changed. The technology's changed, obviously, but the principles are the same.
Correct. You want to establish a relationship. You want to earn a sale. You want to make sure the guy's got plenty of value. You want to make sure you've served them memorably. You want to make sure you earn a referral. There's nothing new. But it's complicated right now because big sales companies feel like they have to have all kinds of steps to the process. They could have everybody count off by 2s and shoot the 1s, and you wouldn't miss a person.
Yeah, I was seeing a timeline today of all of the different sales principles that have evolved throughout the year. I think the Addy model, and then there was another model, then there was the challenger, and then there was the consultant selling, and then there was something else. And I'll have to bring it up just to remind myself, because it was quite unique.
There's strategic selling, there's all kinds of things.
Yeah, there was a whole realm of different ones, and I'm curious to find it. It doesn't matter, but it just intrigued me that there was a timeline with 1908 up to 2011. I think we spoke about one of them very briefly because we wanted not to go into too much detail with it. But, oh, here we go. So mood selling, 1929, psychological selling, 1935, relationship selling, adapt. AIDA, need satisfaction, spin selling, and so on and so forth. And the methodologies behind that and who created it and so on and so forth. But I think it's that people skills that we all need at the end of the day, and understanding other people and to be curious about other people and to use those big things on the sides of our head.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's not that complicated unless you take a course in it.
Yeah, and then you can overcomplicate it.
You know, like time management. What the hell is that about?
I think that's another story for another podcast, I think.
Yeah.
So, Jeffrey.
I'd be more than happy to talk about it.
Oh, that'd be awesome. So, Jeffrey, how can people find out more about you? And
the best thing to do, search my name on any social media. It's usually Jeffrey Gittimer or Gittimer.com or Gittimer at Gittimer. But Gittimer.com, Gittomer.com, takes you to my website, and everything I have is on there.
Awesome. And you've all got a flurry of books out there. You can find out on Amazon, the one that I have, The Little Red Book, and the audio book, The Sales Bible. And you have a few other books scattered around the internet that you can buy.
Yep.
And that's probably the easiest way.
Connect with me anytime. I love going to Europe. I'll be in Paris in August or July. I'm probably going to go in July because I don't want to deal with the Olympics. But is what it is.
Look, I'm really looking forward to it. I've absolutely enjoyed this podcast. And I think there's going to be lots of golden gems in there as well for people to learn and grow. And
me too.
I love the way that you're speaking and just like, this is it. This is it. It's black and white. This is what you do.
Exactly. I hope you can talk to the people from Ireland and get them to get out from the pub and get in and go make a few sales calls.
Awesome. Certainly shall.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. If you need me more, just phone up. I'm available.